Okay, what is God saying to the GP Hop? That's the title of the message tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this house of prayer. Thank you for each one gathered this evening, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you would help me to communicate your Word and help us to hear what you're saying, God, individually, as a community, as a larger regional church. Lord, help us to hear what you're saying in this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so last weekend, we hosted our first prophetic gathering called Hear. I think most of you guys were here for part of that, or some of it. A number of really cool things happened. I just wanted to go over and review just a few of the testimonies that really stuck out to me. I actually made a little video of this in the middle of the week. But just to even reiterate, you know, whenever we host an event, it's kind of like, you know, is the Lord going to move on it? Are people going to come? Like, I had no idea earlier in the year if the prayer summit was going to take off. I didn't know if anybody was going to come. And, you know, God breathed on hearts. People came. So I'm like, let's try a prophetic event. Let's see if we can do that. And each session was relatively full. I mean, we had some great turnout, a lot of new visitors. I was really pleased. And so it just seemed like the Lord was in it. But after I shared Friday night, I ended my message talking about John 17 and just the need to be one. Linda took me aside over here, and she talked about how when she was driving home from North Dakota recently, back home after seeing her family, she had counted like 17 cranes on the highway, and she began to talk to me about how the Lord was speaking to her about unity and how things work together. And she's, you know, I was like, okay, whoa, that's intense, you know, that she happened to count 17 of those, and it was on her heart, so she shares it with me, and we're talking over there. And then Sadie comes over, and she says, Derek, I just really feel like we need to pray for unity to close out the night. And let's, like, get together and pray for unity. And so that we get in the circle, and Isaac says, Derek, this is crazy. There's 17 people in the circle. And it was all 17 people up in the upper room. And I was just, I think, was there something else that happened? Or was it, I just remember, what was the other thing? Okay. Andre had a vision.
I had a vision of like 17 cranes like hovering around it.
Come on. So I just thought, you cannot make that up. I mean, I hit John 17 and weirdest cranes 17. And I don't really get into weird prophetic numbers and stuff often, but it was just so odd that it was almost like God was saying, what you just said, I'm reaffirming, that is the way forward, to be a people that gathers together, that seeks to be unified with one another, that seeks the Lord together. So that really encouraged me. I mean, whenever God does an unusual prophetic thing, and it just is so cool. So I took that and was encouraged, and then took that into the next day. And I think it was Saturday night, I said, hey, you know, we were taking a minute or two just to pray for people's healing each night or each session. And the lady said, you know, when I was asking, you know, has God been touching anybody? The lady raised her hand and said she'd been healed of arthritic conditions in her wrist. She had not even been able to turn the keys over in her car. They were so bad. And someone prayed for her at one of the sessions. And she was up like flailing her hands around, saying her hands are completely fine now. And I had no idea. I didn't know anybody had been healed. But she was saying that, it was just completely a healing of her wrists. I think she said she had rheumatoid arthritis. Does anybody remember that? And I never met her, but I mean, I just trust that if she was in severe pain and she wouldn't have been able to do that, but I mean, I was just like, wow, God, you're really touching people. This is amazing. And so there was the John 17 kind of confirmation. Then there's someone who got healed. Maybe others did. I don't know. But at least that one woman. I mean, guys, holding an event where someone gets healed, to me, in my book, it's worth it at that point. If one person gets touched, it's like, okay, it's worth it. All that work, if one person can get touched by Jesus and be healed and some people can get encouraged, and it's worth it. It's worth it for the one to get touched. After Brother Tony shared, which was, by the way, really just a neat word. He talked about the peace of God and in our anxious culture, and just really great word, wove his testimony into it. But after he shared, I went up to him and just said, "Hey, Tony, you know, I'm kind of anxious sometimes. Would you pray for me?" And, you know, he's real sensitive to the Spirit, and, you know, he always does something prophetic or interesting. And so I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. But he takes my hands out and forces them open in front of me, and he just puts money in my hands. And I'm like, okay, thank you. Thank you, God, Tony, you know, brother. So I'm just standing there, just kind of like, you know, receiving, and he kind of left, and I'm like, I wonder what he's doing. And I didn't know this, but he was tapping people on the shoulder saying, you know, hey, go bless Brother Derek. And I'm holding my hands open. People came up and started putting money in my hands, the whole place. It was crazy. So after everybody had put a donation in my hands, I'm like, what do you do? This is weird. Like, yeah, I was just so humbled. And then Brother Jason Kick says, bro, you need to get used to that. You need to learn how to receive. This is going to happen more and more to you. And I'm just like, oh, I hope not really, because this is really awkward and weird. And this is so, I mean, I do, but I don't. It's just so odd for that to happen. It was the first time that ever happened to me, where just people started putting money in my hands. But it was $167. I mean, I was just like, oh my gosh, like, wow. There's actually a 17 in there if you take out the I told my wife that. She's like, that's weird. I'm like, I know, but it's true. It's like God is just, he's doing weird stuff. So, but I just, you know, why did he do that? Why was it $167? And I'm sure there's a message in there. But how cool is that? We gather together. We seek the Lord. People from different churches get together and God moves. And I just feel like that is a, you know, some of the things he was doing this weekend where he's emphasizing unity and healing people and providing money. That's where we're going. You know, it was just a snapshot. Like, this was a picture. Stay the course. You know, come together. Seek my face. Bring the church together. I will heal bodies. Your house of prayer will be a house of healing. You know, when Jesus first said, my house shall be a house of prayer, right after that, healings are breaking out. People are getting healed outside of that. I mean, he does my house as a house of prayer, and he turns around and goes and heals someone. I've always had a conviction that the house of prayer is a house of healing. And he wants to do both. So as we pray, he wants to heal people. And he did this weekend. I feel like it's a sign of things to come. And I feel like as we stay the course, people are just going to be seeking God, their arms open, and God's going to provide for their finances. God's going to provide for their needs. I truly believe that's where we're going. The way forward is just to seek God and trust him, and he'll take care of everything. I've had to learn that in a pretty fresh way because things have been pretty tight here in the ministry financially and in my family. And then that happens and you're like, oh yeah, God, you can just pull money out of a hat if you want. I mean, it was just so crazy. I just love the unexpected nature of the things God does. But praise the Lord for people like Tony who would even think to do that. I mean, I was humbled because I would never even think to do that. And it's like part of his mind. So I want to be the guy that like says, hey, hold on, I'm going to pray for you, but I'm going to go get my friends. And I want to do that to somebody. All right. Well, number two here, just wanted to encourage us that God is actually doing things sometimes. You know, we do so many little prayer meetings. I mean, two people, three people, one person, four, seven, five. You know, they're so small. But it's all kind of working together to release the presence of the Lord. And so when we have an event and people are touched, I'm reminded it is worth it. One thing I try to do every so often is just go over the story of how we even came to be. You know, the years have rolled by. This is our fourth year we've done this. And if I would have known now at the beginning, I probably would have done a few things different. But, you know, when you start a ministry from scratch, like it's, you know, there's nothing easy about it. You're battling. I mean, the devil doesn't just go, oh, you want to start a prayer room and release revival and save souls and heal bodies? Like, yeah, sure, do that. He resists that with all of his being. I mean, he'll let us just be casual, but if we want to get really signed up and seek the Lord and go after him, he's not going to take a vacation. And so there's the, you know, we're weak dynamic, there's the devil doesn't like what we're doing dynamic, and there's just all these things. So sometimes I get weary, I see all the battles around, and I'm like, I got to remember why we even do this. So you get to listen to me preach to myself here for a minute. But I got to remind myself, and it's amazing how many people will ask me the story of the GP Hop, and I'm like, God, you're hilarious. You just want me to tell myself again, and they're going to hear it. You know what I mean? If you ever start a ministry, if the Lord leads you that direction, he will have you tell the story so many times, it's just painful. But then you'll sign up again like every week. It's kind of weird how he does that, because our testimony releases something. Like when we say the story that he has invited us into, we like get excited again. So, amen. That was just for you, Tyler. Just me and you right now. But I put here in the notes that I'm still blown away by how everything just kind of got started. I was not really seeking to lead a house of prayer. I was kind of content just to do my job, raise my family, loved the house of prayer, wanted one, but I just, you know, wasn't really, it was kind of like everyone else, just like, cool if it happens, you know. And then I was having coffee with a friend, Brother Kalman. I think some of you know Buddy Kalman. December of 2011, we had coffee at 3030, and I told him that I was like, Kalman, I just feel like I'm in a transition. I don't know why, I just do. I just always remember that. And then that January, I preached a message the Lord had put on my heart, so unusually heavy, to preach a message. And the whole gist of it was, you never know what's around the corner. Be ready. You never know what's coming. And I remember preaching that at Bradley Epworth, where our church met on Friday nights. And it was so weird because Bradley Epworth was having their like yearly vigil at the beginning of the new year. So their like whole church was there and our church was there. And I was supposed to preach that night. And so I was like, guys, we never know what's going to be right around the corner. Let's do, you know, and I was just preaching and I had no idea what I was even talking about. I didn't really know what the Lord had me preach that message for. And I still remember that whole month, I was unusually focused on getting up early, seeking the Lord, going to work, going to bed on time, getting up again early, seeking. I was just militant for that month. I mean, it was so weird. And I didn't know anything at that point. I just knew, like, wow, I think I'm in transition, but I still had to go to work every day. Then my friend Rob Waldo and Brother Daryl Neal began to plan this thing called Behold Him in 2012. It was going to be July 2012, 31 days of getting together and seeking the Lord, churches coming together. And Rob asked me to help lead that. And that month, July of 2012, will forever be the most intense month I've ever experienced and hopefully will ever experience, where God began to make it crystal clear that I was in a true transition. I was really going to transition out of full-time marketplace to full-time ministry. They're both ministry, but I, you know, just to distinguish the corporate world to the full-time ministry world. We're all missionaries, gang. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like whatever you do, you're like an apostle to that place. So like there's no secular and sacred really. It's we're all sent. We're all sent ones. We're all evangelists. So it's not like one's more special. Sometimes people try to go like, well, full-time ministry is the next. It's not the next level. It really, you're in full-time. We're all in full-time ministry. But just, he reassigns us. And so I was to take this assignment of more expressed ministry, and he made it so clear that month. And so that was that. I was like, okay, Lord, I just really am convinced that you're telling me to do house of prayer, but I really don't want to, and I feel horrible. I'm spiritually dead. And I just had so much going wrong. I, you know, just a lot not good in my life. I didn't feel close to the Lord in that season. I didn't feel dedicated, but he called me then so that I would always know it wasn't when I was at my strongest. That's not why he called me. It's because it was my calling. And I can't tell you, in the kindness of God, in one of the most broken, weak places of my life, he says, Derek, now you're ready to make that transition because you will know it's really me. And I'm so grateful that I wasn't on like a 100-day fast and I was like so dedicated for the 9 years before, you know. Sometimes we think, one day I'll be worthy for the call of God. And so I was so broke down, so everything, and then he began to emphasize it. And I just think, that's so kind of the Lord to do that so that I would know it's really not me. But it's the sovereign call of God. So I throw out a prayer secretly. I go, God, I know you well enough to know, and I know ministry well enough to know, I'm not going to do it if it's not you. So if this is really you, you have to get me a building. Okay, that's my little prayer I threw out. I just kind of said it like that. I didn't tell anybody. It was like my mental thought / prayer. God, if you're serious, if this was really you, you will get a building for me and I will tell nobody about this. Okay, this is really how it happened. I didn't tell my wife. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't drop hints all over the place. Nothing. And I'm telling you, it was a week or two later, Scott Schilling contacts me and says, Derek, I don't even know if you're thinking like this, but if you want, I've got the where the garage used to meet. There's a transition going on, and I'll let you have that facility if you want it. I can't remember if it was like a phone call or a text or something, but I was in just utter shock. Because it began to dawn on me, this is real. Like you don't just throw out, give me a building, and then he makes it happen really. I thought it would take years. You know, so I threw out a few secret prayers. And I thought, the building, that's going to be hard for God. That was the first one answered. And so then I got freaked out. I mean, when you say, Lord, I'll do it if you give me a building, and then he gives you a building, you're like, what do you do? You're like, I mean, maybe you can relate in some way in your life, but I was just scared. I'm like, you're like really, really serious. So, okay, I guess I'm in, but wow. I didn't know it was that serious. So he made it serious. And, okay, so I you know, have to tell, you know, crazy events ensuing. But at that time, well, let me just say this. That remains as probably the most stunning confirmation I've ever gone through. To this day, that is crazy. Secret prayer, Lord, if this is really you, give me a building. And then in like less than 2 weeks, Derek, I don't know if you're even thinking about it, but I got this building, and I'll give you the upper room for free. That's what he said. Scott Schilling, you can use the upper room for free. Once we actually moved in, the lower tenant moved out just suddenly. And then Scott gave us the lower level for a discounted rate, which he's always been so kingdom, and God so used him in my life. And so we, at that time, had the Saturday night prayer. Anybody remember the Saturday night prayer room? Because after Behold Him, we just started doing every Saturday night. You know, boom, boom, every Saturday night. And then toward the end of that year, that's when this building opens up. We start to move in, doing morning prayer meetings, December of that year. I remember on Christmas Day, there were like 7 people. Christmas morning, I show up thinking, man, why am I even here? And then I see like 7 other people, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I was so humbled. It was such a cool morning. And then shortly after that, we began to do morning and evening, and just been a crazy journey. And so it's been 4 years. 4 years since, it's coming up on 4-ish. So that was late 2012, early 2013. So yeah, 4-ish years. Put here in letter D, it's been a hard 4 years. I mean, I've wanted to quit many times. And I probably would have quit if God didn't encounter me in crazy ways. Like, you know, there's no, like, no one gave me a manual on day one and said, hey, Derek, you know, welcome to the ministry. Here's how you do Greater Peoria House of Prayer. Like any job on the planet, you walk into your job, your boss says, here you go, brother. But I'm so thankful for IHOP KC. I'm so thankful for the prayer rooms that are doing it, because I just watch them and I go, Lord, I know you might want to do it different here, but at least I have a grid. I have no idea how Mike Bickle did it. None. To have no grid and still do it, it just boggles my mind. But I'm so glad there's a grid out there that I can kind of go, okay, I see how that could work. But I know he might want to do it differently here, so I'm not like married to any particular thing, but that's another message for another time. But it's been interesting. When you start something new, you know, you go through, just if you start a new business, you got to go from zero to profitability. You have to go from zero to people get a, you know, come to it and you get a burden for it and a vision for it. It's just, there's a lot of dynamics, low numbers, low finances, not that it's about numbers, but you know, we want people to come and pray. And when things are small, there's turnover, that's normal. So it's just, there's all these dynamics. And so it's been hard, but it's been worth it. I would never want my message to be conveyed that it's more hard than worth it. This has been the most incredible 4 years of my life. The ways God has encountered me, just when there's no one here, it's just been truly, I'm so thankful for being invited into this. I just, and I'm thankful for you all. I mean, I'm thankful for the whole community. Even people who show up like once every couple months, like, it moves me. I'm like, why would you even come to a ministry I'm leading? Like, that's so humbling. That people would actually come and run with you is so amazing. And because, like, how do you, anyway, yeah. So I'll just move on here. But there's a few times where God has just said, bro, my son, keep going. Here's an encounter. Like, I mean, there's mornings I'd wake up and just be like, it's over. And I'm glad. I know many missionaries who've wanted to quit so many times, but that is just, we're human. We wake up on Monday sometimes and just go, is it worth it? But God has done enough things where I'm like, okay, it's worth it. I just want to tell a couple quick stories here just to, and I'm just picking just, I mean, there's many stories like these, but I'm just going to pick a couple because I don't want to go too long here. Before I started full-time into this, as we were kind of ramping into it, there were many people, and I don't have the exact number, it's probably a dozen times where people would say, hey, Derek, you know, I know that you're going to go into this, you know, ministry, house of prayer. I just want you to know, be faithful in the small season. Don't despise the season of smallness. That message was spoken so many times, it's just started to get weird. I would ask people for advice. You got any advice for me? Oh, yes, don't despise the small season. You know, they would say that all the time. And I would, you know, almost be able to interrupt people when they were starting to say, hey, Derek, I got advice. I know what it's going to be. You know, it was kind of funny after. But I remember one night, it was my turn to clean the Chi Alpha house, which our local church has a college ministry called Chi Alpha. And it was my job to clean the house that night. And I was taking the trash out. And I were just the weirdest thing ever. There's a guy outside of Avani's. I think he worked at Avani's. If he's not an angel, he worked at Avani's. I don't know what he is to this day. There's a guy outside of Avani's just dragging on a cigarette. And he just goes, hey, what's up, bro? I'm like, hi. You know, and I'm just like putting the, he goes, what are you guys doing there? And I'm like, oh, you know, we're a campus ministry. You know, we, you know, reach out to the campus. We're Christians, etc. And he literally just goes, oh, small beginnings, bro. Just small beginning. He literally says this. And I just am like, what? Like, it was so weird. But he said it. He says, small beginnings. And I just literally, I'm like, are you even a real human being? I just seriously was like, what in the world? I was spooked at that point because it had been said so many times and then this weird thing. And so I knew, man, God's trying to tell me, like, be faithful when it's small. And it's, I don't want to make it sound like so intense, but, you know, it's hard to take stuff serious when it's small. It just is. We live in 21st century America. We want big, awesome, loud money, everything. And it's just, the Lord says, part of your journey is going to be small for a while. And it has been. I mean, it's there. I remember that first year. I mean, it was 0 to 1 people most prayer meetings every day. And I wanted to quit so many times. I'm just like, Lord, I thought like we'd at least have 12 or something, a biblical number would just show up or something. But he just, you know, so we go 1 month, 2 month, 3 month, 4 months, and it's just nothing. So into the second story there, about 6 or 12 months in, I can't remember exactly, I officially like came in one morning and was just like, Lord, this is crazy. Like what? I just left, you know, my job and I thought it was you and no one's here and I'm alone again. You know, I had one of those mornings. You know, you guys have never had one of those mornings, but I have. And I'm just lamenting and venting and I go, God, I don't have anybody showing up. I don't even have a website to inform people to show up. I don't even have a logo to put on a website. If I had a website, I just began to lament. I mean, it was like Psalm 151. Like I wrote a new psalm that morning. It was completely biblical, of course, but I just was venting and thinking all these thoughts like that. That was my prayer time that morning. And as I'm thinking those thoughts, my phone buzzes. And I literally thought this, I'm not going to look at my phone, I'm in a prayer meeting. My next thought was, it's not going so well though, so I guess I'll check my email. And I kid you not, this stands alone as one of the craziest mornings of my life. I look at my phone, I'm like, oh, Keith emailed me, my friend Keith. And I open up the email, and he says, Derek, you're not going to believe this. The Lord woke me up early this morning and spoke to my heart to make you a logo for your ministry. And I never get up early, but it was such a strong impression that I should wake up early and make you a logo for your ministry right now. So here's the logo. What do you think? And I am looking at this, and I just kind of look up at the sky, you know, up at these rafters here and look at my phone. I'm like, oh my word. Like, you set that all in motion knowing I was going to go through that. You knew I was going to vent and lament about a logo. And God spoke so specifically in that moment, I really see you. The littlest care you have. And I want you to know right now. And I just signed up again in that moment. I said, God, if you're the God of I'll send you a logo when I'm worried about it, I'll serve you another day at least, you know. And praise the Lord, I'm still going. That morning was just so crazy, and I'll never forget that. There's been a number of weird, crazy stories like that because God just knows how weak I am and how prone I am to waver. I don't have this on the notes. I remember one time I was in my office, and I'm like, Lord, I'm just so weary today. I'm not even going to go to my afternoon prayer meeting. I'm just going to sit in my chair. That just sounds so great. So I'm just going to sit down there in my office, in my chair, and just not go to my prayer meeting. That's what I said to myself. And my office phone rings. I kid you not, the office phone rings. I pick it up, hello. And it was Jake and Carrie Roman who come here. And they go, hey, this is Jake Roman. Don't you have a prayer time going right now? We're outside your door and it's locked. We're trying to get in to come to the prayer meeting. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I was just on my way to get off my chair and go to the prayer meeting. And so I unlock the door, and they're like all bug-eyed. They're like, we were at IHOP one thing, and we just knew we needed to come back and get involved, and we were supposed to come right now. I'm just like, you have no idea right now, like how encouraging this is. And I poured out my heart to them, and they're like, we're in. So it was such a cool day. Those things have happened so many times, and it just God keeps helping me to sign up again because it's not easy. This is a cool one here. Gosh, time is flying. This message is sponsored by Kroger Purified Drinking Water. No, they're giving me $5. All right, I just had to do. I put one up here every week. I should get something actually. See that Facebook? I'm gonna. People are gonna go buy that water. This message went way off. Okay, coming back. Oh my gosh. Okay, so a few months ago, Brother Andrew Whalen, I thank God for Brother Andrew. He has been so encouraging to me in these last 6 months as he's been coming here regularly. He Facebooks me one morning saying, Derek, I had a dream last night. We were at the house of prayer, the GP Hop, and I don't know if you guys have heard this dream or not. I can't remember, but he has so many dreams. He just every day, it's like, Andrew, what planet are you from, really? Love him. He just always has a story. And he goes, Derek, I had this dream. You were in the middle of the room, and the place was packed. And there's all these young adults. And you said to the people, should we pray all night? And everybody in the room said, yes, let's do it. And there was all this enthusiasm. The place is full. And I'm kind of like, okay, yeah, you know. And he just said, bro, I really know that's where it's going. Just hang in there. You know, I had this dream. I wanted you to know right now. I wanted to send it. So I read that dream and I'm like, awesome. You know, I'm so encouraged. But I get a lot of dreams. People send me all kinds of stuff. So I'm like, that's more special than normal, but still, it's a dream, you know. I hope it happens, but I don't base my life on dreams. But then right after that, this is weird, right after that, I get a text from Carrie Roman. She says, Derek, I just saw a truck. And on the back of it, it said, trust 24/7. I felt like I should take a picture and send it to you right now. So I'm looking at my phone. I just read the dream. I get the text, trust 24/7. Oh, my word. Now, that'd be cool. A couple days go by, and I'm still thinking, what does that mean? I'm taking the trash out. God speaks to me when I'm taking the trash out for some reason. I have no idea why he chose to encounter me when I'm taking trash out. I start taking the trash outside to trash dumpster number two. They're all number two. That's kind of an inside joke, but we always tell people, take it to dumpster number two, and they're all number two. There's literally a number two on the dumpster. I just think that's funny. Someone has a sense of humor in the waste management community. So I'm taking the trash out to dumpster number two. I walk by a lady that has a like a breathing apparatus on, a real old lady, and like her granddaughter walking by, and I just wave, hey, how's it going? Throw the trash away, and they're moving like 2 miles an hour, you know, like because she's old. And so I come up behind them, and I'm just trying to be nice. And I go, oh, what a beautiful day. You know, hope, you know, and I'm just trying not to be awkward because they're kind of blocking the, and so I'm just kind of like, you know, hey, what a nice day. And the old lady, kid you not, this is all she says. She just goes, 24/7, and just keeps walking. Not a word more or less. I'm not kidding you. And I just go, I'm like behind her, like, what? Why would you say that? I've never heard in my life. I just was, she literally just goes, 24/7. It's just like that. And I'm just like, what? I just had no idea what to do. I'm just like, oh, yeah. The dream, the text, the old lady. And I'm telling you, I don't make this up. It just keeps happening. You know what I mean? Like, if one of these things happened, but just stories keep coming. And so I just feel like I'm supposed to keep going. Why would God keep saying this stuff? You know, because in my heart, I'm like, well, there's not tons of people. It's, you know, it's not hugely known. And, you know, all these outward things we would measure it by. And God goes, I'm not worried about that. I was born in a manger. I was hidden for 30 years. I mean, the ways of God are so much different than our ways so often. So he just put us in a manger season where we're just growing. And we're, but he keeps saying it. I could tell way more stories like this that are just crazy, but we don't have time. Another time. So what's my point in all this? I love to retell the story just so we all know as a community, there's always someone who hasn't heard what's going on or how, why, you know, I didn't just wake up one morning and go, I'm really talented and gifted. I should lead a house of prayer. Absolutely not. I was so content to just keep doing what I was doing in life. And the Lord radically interrupted me and just went, bam, and just totally transplanted me. And so if he started it and he's doing it, I don't want to give up on something he's doing. Like, if I was really convinced I'm doing this, I'd waver lots more. But he initiated this stuff, brothers and sisters. And I'm just like, oh, okay, God, if you're into it, I'm into it. This is not about me. This is not even really about the GP hop. It's about his greater purposes. We're like a piece to the puzzle. We're serving the community. God wants to do something in the whole region, and he's asking for a prayer community to arise to play our part in his redemptive plan. And so what we really need right now is I spoke last weekend about overcoming disillusionment, signing up again. What we really need is people to sign up again. We need people who are enthusiastic about embracing the vision of the GP Hop, giving themselves to prayer. And that might mean once a month. That might mean once a week. That could be whatever you can give. But that's what's most needed, is we need people just taking their place on the wall of prayer, in worship, in service. I cannot do this alone. I mean, we need staff. We need volunteers. We need so much. I'm believing one day this will be 24-hour operation. And so that there's a picture of heaven on earth, not just somewhere else, here in our community, right here. So that people can go, man, I really, getting off work at 2 in the morning, I wonder if there's a place I can go. Oh, there's that house of prayer that can maybe meet my needs. I'm really searching for God, and I want to be open for that guy. I want to be open for the kid after hockey practice who had a rough day in high school, and he knows there's a place where he can go where they're singing constantly about God, and they're praying, and they'll talk to him and help him. I'm desperate for that place to be here. I can't live my life and not make a dent in that reality, because right now, as it stands, if you can't make it Wednesday or Sunday, you don't have a chance, really. We got to have a place where someone can walk in and get ministered to. The craziest thing, last Friday night, I gave a call to anyone who is in the military. I felt led to pray for people who were in the military, called to the military, etc. Had a couple people stand. Then the next day, a former military guy, wanders into the house of prayer. I think he was really inebriated. I think he was having a rough time. And he had severe knee pain. And I was able to pray with him and encourage him and ask for healing for his knees. And I'll probably maybe never see him again. But like, we need to be open for guys like that. People need to be able to wander into a place of prayer and encounter Jesus and get healed and saved and delivered. That's what I'm giving myself for. I more than I want my ministry to be successful, I want guys like this guy named Rufus, that was his name, to be able to stumble in and encounter God. I want Jesus to have his place, but I want people to be able to actually wander in and get prayer. I mean, that to me is the gospel. If we have the most important message in the universe, how can we say we're only open part of Sunday? And I get that's where the church is at. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm part of the church. We're all part of the church. But it's like, we got to make headway. And we got to be, if McDonald's is open 24 hours a day and they're selling hamburgers and the church has the gospel, we got to outdo McDonald's. We really need to. The Lord, in his tongue-in-cheek humor, because God has a sense of humor, he says, I'm going to put you right in the middle of 24/7 Kroger, 24/7 gas station, BP, 24/7 Planet Fitness. I'm going to surround you with 24/7 and just make you burn with jealousy and experience what I feel. There's all these places all around us in a 10-foot radius that are all burning 24/7 without the gospel. How can we not say, God, you're surely supposed to be more open than Planet Fitness? And even Planet Fitness says, we won't judge you. Come on in. Get in shape. And I'm like, my goodness, this is like a church for real. You know, they're trying to meet needs. Say, we won't judge you. We'll take you as you are. Come anytime. I'm like, how can we not look at that and just burn with indignation? Like, not against them. I'm just saying, how can we not want that place? Can you imagine pulling up to McDonald's on a Tuesday morning and they saying, well, maybe come back Wednesday night? Or Sunday. Guys, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying that would be crazy. They'd go under in a day. But people have spiritual needs that are more important than that. We got to build a place where, and guys, people think, well, so when you're 24/7, that's it? No, that's not it. We plant them all over. I mean, if we go 24/7 and we got 300 people, we're going to plant another one. I'm not going to be happy with just one. There's 700 churches in our town, and there's still not revival. There's still not transformation. Apparently, we need more. And some people have this idea, well, you know, we've got the one house of prayer going in East Pure. No, we need that 24/7. We need to plant them all over the place, and we need to contend, man, until Jesus breaks in for real. I so appreciate in Acts chapter 2 that they didn't quit on day 5 and go, oh, it was a good prayer meeting. We felt some tingles. No, they prayed until God came. I want to see a place that we contend until there is presence in our city. Where people wake up in the morning and go, I want to get saved today. I have no idea why. Just want to go get saved. I'm really into that. That would be awesome. Now we're doing good. We have a lot of good churches doing a lot of good things. But there's more. I haven't heard anybody get raised from the dead lately. I haven't heard anybody walking in shadow healing like Peter. I don't know. I mean, there's so many things not happening. And Jesus said, you'll not only do what I did, you'll do greater. Who's doing greater right now? Guys, if it's in the book, it's for us. I like having you on the front row, brother. That's great. All right. Of course, the other thing we need, and I don't want anybody to feel pressured or anything like that. And feel free to, we'll do a little bit of feedback and commenting in Q&A. Feel free to give me feedback here. But I wish that I could just, I wish that I could kind of, you know, wake up in the morning, go look in that little yellow bucket, and there'd be the needs for the house of prayer right in there every morning. 3,000 to show up in there. Kind of like the manna showed up every day for the Israelites. I wish that, like, every morning we'd come in and there's just a couple $100 bills on the carpet. I just wish I didn't have to ask people to sow into the ministry because I'm not good at it. But the reality is we need people who will sow into the ministry, one-time gifts, regular gifts. We need people who understand that this is not going to go forward without financial gifts. There's a faithful core amount of people who give regularly. But we just need that next step. We need that next, you know, whatever you call it, to happen. And so I'm going to spend the next, not just tonight, but I'm going to spend a season of time just growing as a leader to help people understand how to sow into the ministry and how that's important. But we need to move that direction. I realize everybody tithes, everybody gives to all these things. But pray and ask, you know, what percentage could I give to the HOP, even if it's 1 or 2 or 3%, or just here and there, $10, $20. If everybody does that, we hit our budget every month easily. In fact, Brother David and I were talking last night. I think, you know, we have easily 50, I mean, a minimum of, it's probably 100 of different people who come here regularly, just on different days, different times. And if each of them just consistently sowed, I mean, we'd nail our budget and we'd far exceed it. Anyway, I just want to share a couple of verses because I haven't even preached the Bible. I've just said stories. I got to at least say like two verses. When Paul was talking about the Philippians in Philippians 4:17, he was recognizing their generosity, saying, man, I've gone a lot of places, haven't gotten financial gifts, but you guys have provided my needs. And he makes this statement, which is really awesome. He says, really, this is my paraphrase, you can read it there. Really, I'm not actually even after your money. I'm mostly after you getting fruit for sowing into ministry. And that's really what it's about. The reality is we need finance to run the ministry. But in the bigger picture, when you sow into something, God never forgets, and He blesses you, and you become more fruitful. Not necessarily the next day, but there's a principle. When you sow, you reap. When you sow generously, God causes you to reap generously. And so I want us to understand that. It's not just like, oh yeah, I got to give another 10 bucks to that. There's so many things I got to give to you, and I got to give another 10 bucks. No, you're actually making a spiritual investment that God never forgets. He'll talk to you about for eternity. He says, I saw that sacrifice. Isn't it interesting that the one Jesus boasted about was the lady who gave one penny? He goes, guys, did you just see what that lady gave? They're like, yeah, she gave like 2 cents. He goes, but that was sacrificial. That was all she had. That was everything for her. And the point was, he knows when the billionaire gives a million, that's like 0.001%. He knows. People are impressed. He's not. He goes, billionaire, if you want to be awesome, I mean, if you want to really get my attention, give the whole billion. Like that lady did. Because he's not going, well, you gave a million, you gave 1 cent. He's going, how sacrificial was it? And I thank God that if all we have is a penny and we give that, he goes, oh, be like her. Now, again, if you have $1 billion, I'm not telling you to give it. I'm just, you know. But Paul says, he said that to the Philippians, Philippians 4:17. He said to the Corinthians, he said, like I mentioned, he who sows sparingly reaps sparingly. He who sows bountifully reaps bountifully. He goes on to say this, which we never really tag on. We always stop there. But he goes, let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Just if God gives you a number, give, that's fine. Don't, you know, do it, you know, begrudgingly or because you feel like you have to. Just be happy about it. I get to give. Praise God. We're the wealthiest nation in the whole world, wealthiest country in history. I got money. Praise God. I'll give some to the Lord. But then he says this. God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things. This is a really interesting verse. May have an abundance for every good work. What he's saying is, he's connecting this reality of giving to us having sufficiency in all things. Having sufficient resource for everything we need. He's like, if you will sow and sow generously, here's what I'll do. I will cause grace to abound to you. You'll grow in this grace. I will make you live in this place of sufficiency so that you have abundance for every work. How cool is that? That's such a deal. If we give, God says, I'll give you grace. I'll make you sufficient in everything, and you'll even have an abundance for all the works that you're doing. I praise God for that. As a leader, I purpose to give as generously as I can. You know, when I worked in the marketplace, I was able to give a certain amount, but now it's way less, but I'm trying to give, you know, hard as much as we're able to as a family. And so I don't want to, you know, call people to be generous. And again, guys, you don't just have to give here, but just, you know, as the Spirit, be generous in general. I'm not just saying tonight for us, but we do have needs. But I would never want to call a community to be givers and me not be giving. You know what I mean? So I just want you to know I'm into this. And I want to live that way. So that's the story. That's the need. Amen. That's I just wanted to share from my heart tonight. That's kind of where we're at as a community. And so we'll end it there and then just take a minute for, like, if you have a question about anything or if you got a comment or anything at all. How was that sermon? Thank you, Andre. That $20 is coming. Yes, sir.
So I know with the IHOP, Casey, Mike Nichols, and Stannis, part of what, you know, they go over kind of the history, prophetic history.
Yes.
But part of what motivates them and keeps them going is the prophetic words they've gotten about the future. They have
yeah.
The head.
Yes.
So I'm wondering if you've done, you know, not much about that, or can you share some about what the prophetic words have gotten up to this point that you're like, does that matter? Yeah, we're going to continue to receive it.
Yeah, an angel met me in my bed. No. Really, you know, I would have to get into kind of my lifelong journey, but I am convinced there's going to be a 24/7 prayer reality. And I'm convinced that in that place, there's going to be power released like we're not used to right now. And so it's very important that I think we head that direction. So, but I have a strong sense of where it's going, but I don't, I'm thinking offhand. I could share stories that have happened to me personally. It would just take too long. But I don't know of too many like future events that I've, you know, got complete clarity on. But I just have a strong sense that's where it's going. But I also feel like the Lord has kind of checked me a few times and just said, pay attention to step one. You know, believe it's going there, but just do assignment number one. Assignment number one was to get a morning and an evening prayer gathering set. We're really almost there. I mean, it's pretty much established. And so I'm thinking he's going to give us the new marching orders for the next season. But I'm going to need a lot of more wisdom and people involved in that. So it's like stage one is kind of pretty much set. And then there's going to be a stage two. And I don't know how many stages till it's like full blown. I hope it's soon, just for the sake of people being able to come. But so that's kind of just a sense of where it's going. Nothing too much beyond that. Oh, please, please.
Night watch.
Yes, night watch. You're like the 28th person to say that. Help me lead it. I'm going to need night watch people. Yeah, guys, I've had a lot of people make suggestions like you should just do 24 hours for one day a week. And there's enough people talking about it right now where I think it's going to begin to happen. It's like God has to send the people, because I've seen, you know, back in the Chi Alpha days when we did 24 hours and we had like three people doing all night. I don't want to burn people out. I want it to be sustainable. So I'm kind of waiting to, you know, if we get a whole wave of people that want to do it, we're doing it. You know, Jesus is worthy of the night season. So sooner than later, my friend. Anything else? Any other questions? We good? Dave, anything to add to that? I know you gave me some input last night.
What happens if we don't get it?
Ooh, good question. This place shuts down real quick. We are a couple rent payments behind. I actually have a goal that by the end of the weekend we're going to have 3,000 come in. I don't know how that's going to happen, but I just have thrown that out to the Lord. Lord, we need 3,000 because we have two rent payments that equal 2,400. And I just don't want to stress out the landlord situation, which is my dear friend. You know, it's amazing. Like, God's doing stuff and I want to keep marching, but if we don't take care of practical, it's over. You know, this place is locked. No lights come on. I mean, it's just that simple. So, I mean, when the garage used to meet here, they did it raw. They didn't even have heat on. They'd be in the middle of winter. You remember that. I mean, so maybe we got to do that if the money. I mean, just try to shut the heat off. Bring our winter coats, build a little fire up here. We'll have to save money somehow, but I'm trusting the Lord to provide, but I also, as a leader, I have to say, hey, guys, you know, the reality is, if we want internet in this place to, you know, go through our Bible app, which is what you're all doing, I assume, going through your Bible app. Yeah. And, you know, heat and, you know, when cords break, you know, cords are not cheap, like $50 a cord now. It's like, geez. You know, we got to keep up with this stuff. So, yeah, that's what happens, man. The reality is, it shuts down real quick if we don't. So, but if at least be praying that we get that 3,000 this weekend, because if we don't, we're in jeopardy pretty quick. We got a couple bills we got to get caught up ASAP. So, maybe you can give into that, and maybe you can just pray like crazy. Either one's fine. Yeah. I'm believing for a money tree in my backyard, so if you're going to pray like crazy, pray for it. I would love one of those. Anything else, man? Anything else? Hallelujah. Well, I do want to end with this. I really appreciate the community. We have seen visitors more frequently. There's a new set of apostolic Christians coming on Monday mornings. It just warms my heart, just the body coming together to pray. And I just appreciate all of you. I just really appreciate you helping get this ministry off the ground. And you know, you guys all come at different times, but thank you. It's fun to not have to preach to zero people. It's fun to run together. It's fun to build towards something with real people. And I love this community, and I'm hopeful for what God's going to do. So let's end with some worship, man. Like, that was so rocking. Just, I mean, what are you thinking? Just like 10 or 20 minutes or so and just blow it up, and then we'll just end after that. All right. So, Lord, just thank you so much for the history in this house, Lord. We've gotten this far, Lord, and we want to keep going. And so we just pray you would meet all of our needs. We're asking that you'd release provision, not only for this house, but for everyone here tonight, for the churches in our city, for the families that love the Lord. We're asking for a massive release of provision. We're asking tonight, Lord, that you would make all grace abound toward the church, that we would have sufficiency in all things and have an abundance for every good work. Lord, I'm asking that you'd release abundance in this place, in everyone's life gathered here tonight, in the families, in the GP Hop community, the churches that are represented by those families, Lord, and all through our city, Lord. Let there be an abundance for the work of God in this central Illinois region, Lord. I pray also tonight that you would encourage every heart, Lord. Those in this room and those who will watch this recording or listen to this recording, Lord, that they would be strengthened. I'm asking, Father, right now, that intercessors would sign up again, Lord. You'd break disillusionment off of our hearts. You'd break weariness off of our hearts, Lord, and you'd help us to be those who press toward you and toward the upward call in Christ Jesus. Strengthen your people, Lord. I pray for a renewed signing up. I speak over those who are weary. No condemnation, no shame. Sign up again for what God has called you to do. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Why don't we just stand and we're going to just worship our way out of this meeting tonight. Amen.